Amen.
Now, amen, I'm about to do my solo. Come on, somebody. Nah, that's not my gifting, amen. If I were to start singing right now, you guys would probably leave. Amen, praise God. And so, but God, amen, has anointed me to preach the good news.
Amen.
Amen. He has anointed me to preach the good news. And so I'm going to do that here tonight. And I want to thank God for my salvation. I thank God for my wonderful pastors, my spiritual parents. Amen. Who have trained me. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Trained me. And, you know, and I just want to thank my wife. Amen. She's not here at the moment, but she's back there putting her hands to the plow. Praise God. And thank God for my dad over there. Amen. My pops. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
He's over there. And he's the one who trailblazed. Amen. He trailblazed. He went into the men's home in like 2006, I believe it was. And there in California. And, you know, after that, I mean, you know, he prayed me into my calling. Amen. He prayed me into my calling. And I've been in the home for, amen, I think about almost in the home and directing the home about 7 years now. Amen. So the home has been good to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 22, verses 29. Tonight, my title, if you're writing notes, is going to be being an asset to your local church.
Amen.
Being an asset to your local church, which, amen, I pray, is this church.
Amen.
Amen. This church. V-O-G-P.
Amen.
Victory Outreach Grand Prairie.
Come on, come on.
Amen. Amen. The North Texas region.
Amen.
Spiritual sons and daughters from Pastor Francisco and Sister Sylvia.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I pray that this is your church, and I pray that, amen, you can become an asset to our church. Amen. That you can become somebody that is useful and valuable to the ministry.
Amen.
Amen. That's what an asset is. An asset is a person who is useful or valuable, amen, to the ministry. Amen. And we need more men and women that can be useful in the things of God. That you can be valuable in the kingdom of God. Amen. That there is a target on your back. Come on, somebody. Because you put in work for God. You put in work for VOGP. Come on, somebody. You put in work, amen, for the kingdom of God. So therefore, you become a threat to, come on, you become a threat to the enemy. And the enemy sees the work that you put in. The enemy sees the burden, come on, the weight that you carry, amen. Because you carry weight in the ministry, amen. So he's after you. He's after you. You got a wanted poster in hell with your name on it because you're putting in work for the kingdom of God. But you don't got to worry about the enemy because our God is greater and our God is mightier and our God is stronger. And as long as you stay anchored in the things of God, you'll be all right.
Amen.
Proverbs 22:29. Tonight I want to talk about being skillful in the things of God. Being skillful in the ministry and being skillful, amen, in work, in the calling of God that He has upon your life. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
The Word of God reads like this. It says, do you see someone skilled in their work? It's asking a question. Do you see someone skilled in their work? They will serve before kings. They will not serve before officials of low rank. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you, God, for your wonderful word. God, Lord, here tonight, I pray that you would pour out your anointing upon my life, God, to preach your word, God, and for it to bring an increase, God, for your honor and your glory. In the name of Jesus, we all say,
amen.
Amen. The one who had wrote here this proverb was asking a question. He was asking a question, amen, to his disciple. And he begins to ask them, he says, do you see someone skilled in their work? Amen. If you're going to be a person that is skilled, amen, if you're going to be a person that is an asset to the church, then people are going to take notice. People are going to begin to see and know that God's anointing is upon your life.
Amen.
Do you see someone skilled? Because sometimes, you know, in order for you to see the things in the spiritual realm, you have to have eyes of faith. You got to be able to see in the spiritual realm. Amen. You can't be spiritually discerned. You got to have vision. Come on, somebody. But if you lack vision, my friend, you ain't going to be able to see what is before your eyes. And here in the, for the last 6 years, in March will be 7 years that I have been in VOGP, and I've been under some skilled pastors. Amen. I've been under some anointed pastors. Amen. And I begin to watch them, and I begin to take notice of their life and how they serve God, and how they operate in their faith, and how they give to God, and how they disciple people, and how they love people. So I can say that I have seen somebody skilled in their work. Do you see? If not, then I pray that you would ask God to open your eyes like he opened the eyes of the servant of Elisha. Elisha couldn't see in the spiritual realm when they had their back up against the wall and they were surrounded by armies of the enemy. And, you know, he was afraid. The servant was afraid. He was saying, you know, how are, you know, we're going to be dead men. Come on, somebody. We're surrounded by the enemy. But then Elisha said, you know, come here, young disciple, let me pray for you. Let me lay hands on you. And he prayed that God will open up his eyes.
And then
it was then that his eyes were opened, and he began to see the chariots of fire. He began to see the armies of the Lord, that they outnumbered, come on somebody, the enemy. But you gotta have vision. See, the Bible says that they will serve before kings. They will serve. That's the thing. If you're going to become a skillful individual in the kingdom of God, then you got to learn how to serve.
Right.
You got to learn how to put on, come on somebody, that white towel right here. And you got to be ready in and out of season to begin to serve. That whenever your pastors ask us, hey, do we have anybody that can serve in the kids ministry? Do we have anybody that can serve, that can go to the streets on a Friday night?
Right.
That they can go, come on somebody, that they can be representatives of their pastors and go to the hospital and pray for somebody, that they're willing to serve, even though they got an agenda, they got something to do. They know that the kingdom business comes first. Come on, somebody, and they begin to serve. Do we have any servants in the house? See, they will serve before kings, and they will not serve before officials of low rank. So in other words, whenever you become skillful, then God is going to take you to places that you never thought that you would be at. Come on, somebody. I never thought that I would be, come on, in South Africa, you know, at an invasion. And I began, and God gave me, amen, he gave me a position there to lead a street team. Come on, somebody. I was over a street team of about maybe 40 people. And there in Pretoria, amen, and I began to lead, and all these, come on, all these warriors, and I had the privilege and the honor to lead them, amen, to the streets. But it was only because I was willing for the last 6 years, come on, to take the street team out every Friday night. And every time you know that within a drop of a dime, if my pastor asked me, Josh, I need you to preach on a Friday night, and it was Friday afternoon. Come on, somebody. I remember the very first time I was working there at Shoppers, and I was just coming faithful to the church. I wasn't a director. I wasn't a leader, but I was just a young man that loved God and followed my pastor. Amen. And I remember he gave me that phone call, and he said, hey, Josh, how are you doing? I said, I'm good, Pastor. Oh, no, how are you doing? Are you good? Are you staying out of sin? Are you all right? And I said, yes, Pastor, I'm good. I'm staying out of sin. I'm not getting in trouble. I'm reading my word. And he said, okay, good, because you're going to preach tonight.
Come on now.
I said, what? Come on, somebody. I remember one Sunday morning, we were doing double services, and then out of nowhere, you know, for the first service, Pastor, he goes, you know, he came up here, and then he goes, all right, I just want to call up our speaker, and we're like, we thought you were speaking. Amen. And he goes, come on, Brother Irving, come on up here, you're going to speak. And Irving didn't have no clue. He didn't have an idea that he was speaking, but he was willing and he was ready in and out of season. And he got up here and he began to preach the word of God.
Amen. Yes, yes.
Skills.
Right.
See, we need some more people that, come on, that you're skilled. You might be skilled, come on, in your art of work. Amen. You might be skilled with a hammer, with a skill saw. You might be skilled with that paintbrush. Amen. You might be skilled in plumbing or mechanics. Or you might be skilled with a computer. Or you might be able to sing. And, you know, but we need you to be skilled in the things of God.
Yes. That's right.
Yes. See, skill is the ability to do something well.
Good, it's good.
Do it well. We're going to hear that word one day. I pray that we all hear that word. You know that Jesus, whenever we go before the Lord, he says, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Right, that's right.
See, skill is the ability to do something well. Like an expert. In other words, an expertise. Come on, somebody. You become an expert in whatever it is, the ability that God has entrusted you with, that God has given you the ability to do something. When you become skilled, you become a master. Every time I think of, you know, like mastery, you know, is, you know, I think of like Bruce Lee. When it comes down to Kung Fu, he was like a master, right? You know, I can sit on YouTube and watch him, and he does, you know, the 2-inch punch, and he starts doing all these crazy moves, right? He was skilled in Kung Fu, or he was skilled in karate, or whatever it was, but I know that he was a skilled fighter. Right? I was here at the church the other day, and little Timothy, he was watching, and then me and him were watching, you know, Bruce Lee get down, and then all of a sudden, you know, after that, you know, little Timothy, he got up and he started doing all the little kung fu, right?
Come on.
And he said, come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Because he recognized, little Timmy seen that Bruce Lee was skilled, and he began to see, man, oh, wow, I want to be like that.
Yeah.
Be a fighter.
Yes.
But as little Timmy grows up, he's going to be able to see, come on, somebody, that his dad, amen, that his dad is a man of God, and that he knows how to fight in the spiritual realm, and that he's going to want to be like his dad.
Yeah.
Amen. Come on, somebody. Yes. Skill. See, someone once said this, that excellence is not a skill, it's an attitude. Excellence, because you can be skillful and you could, you know, be excellent at what you do, amen, but you can have a poor attitude, and if that's the case, ain't nobody want to see your skill.
Come on,
somebody. So it's an attitude. A person that is a skillful person, you know, they have a different type of spirit upon their life. They have a different type of persona. Amen. They have the eye of the tiger, and they want to be skillful. So they train hard, and they you know, they're available, and they're teachable, and so they're there. They have an attitude of a student. They wear a hat of a student, and it doesn't matter how much they know. Come on, somebody. They're not prideful and say, you know what, I know that already. They might know it, but they still listen.
Come on, right.
Right? Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Skillful person is a good listener.
Yes.
A good listener. I remember, you know, there'd be times, come on, somebody. Right? I've worked, in several places, for as a mechanic. And, I don't consider myself skillful, but I know a thing or two about working on cars or working on, mechanisms. Come on, somebody.
Right.
And, pastor would come from time to time and he would, I've been working on the vans and his cars and, ever since I got here. Amen. And, sometimes, pastor would start to tell me, hey, no, you're doing that wrong. I'm like, okay. And I was like, okay, but I learned to just shut my mouth. And I'm going to say, pastor, don't you know that, I've worked here, and here. I said, no, I learned to train my mouth, and I learned to open my ear. And I said, I don't know what it is, but maybe there's going to be some type of spiritual revelation that God is going to give me, and then through this instruction, even though I know pastor is not, mechanically inclined, amen, he's getting there, come on, somebody. But, he begins to tell me, no, you got to do it like this, and I'm just like, okay, yes, sir, amen, praise the Lord. Good listener. See, many of us here, have a God-given talent. Some have many. Some of you can sing. Brother Charles, he got up here and he sang and he didn't even have no music. He did an a cappella.
Yeah.
Like, come on, somebody.
Come on,
right, he is skilled. But he uses it for the honor and glory of God.
Yeah.
Some of you guys can rap. Amen. I try to rap, but I rapped once and after that I didn't do it again. Some are great with their hands. Some could build and, some could build houses and some could do, you're very artistic and you're skillful. And some of you can cook real good and some of you can do many different things. Amen. And God has given you a talent. God-given talents. But just because you got a talent doesn't mean that you're skillful. Just because you can sing and you can do all these things with your hand doesn't make you skillful. See, you got to have an attitude and you got to have a persona. There's got to be something different when you're skilled. Amen. There's something different about you.
Amen.
Your skill has become, your talent has become tested.
Yeah.
Your talent has become tested, and therefore you pass the test, and you become skilled. See, when you have talent, amen, and you begin to put your hands to the plow, and you begin to do things, but then all of a sudden you get puffed up, or you get prideful, amen. Then that's not skill.
Yes, sir.
That's just pride. Come on, somebody. But whenever you're able to do something well and you do it good, amen, then you you just let somebody else pat you on the back.
Hello.
Come on, somebody. And you ain't looking for it.
Huh?
Amen. Then that's, come on, you're becoming a skillful person. To be skilled at what you do requires blood, sweat, and tears.
Yes.
Long hours of training and learning and sacrifices. See, being skilled, amen, will get you somewhere in life.
Yes.
Being skilled will get you somewhere in life. It will take you across seas.
Yes.
And into distant lands. And before kings, the Bible says. That you will do great things. And whenever you're a skillful person, come on, somebody. God is, whenever God pours out His anointing upon your life and you become skilled at whatever it is that God has given you the talent for, God will do something with it. See, the world is full of skillful people. The world is full of skillful people. You got those that are athletes and they're skillful at what they do. They got a talent to do whatever it is that they do, but they work hard at it. They're, some people, they got a God-given talent and it'll get them to a certain level in life, but then their character will knock them back down. Their character. See, your talent can get you places, but your character will keep you there.
Right.
See, the world is full of, skillful people. And even the Bible, and I want you to turn with me to 2 Samuel, I'm going to show you a few examples of some skillful people, some skillful men of God. Turn your Bibles to 2 Samuel 23, verse 8. 2 Samuel 23, verse 8. Let me get an amen when you're there. Some of you guys might be familiar with David's mighty men, and some of you might not. 2 Samuel. I'm in 1 Samuel. I wonder I can't find it. Amen. And the Word of God reads like this. These are the names of David's mighty warriors. Jehoshaphat, Bashib, a Tachmonite, was chief of the three. He raised his spear against 800 men whom he killed in one encounter. Next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai, the Anarchite. As one of the three mighty warriors, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines, gathered at Pasdamaim for battle. The Israelites retreated, but Eleazar stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. The troops returned to Eleazar, but only to strip the dead. Verse 11. Next to him was Shammah, son of Agi, the Harite. When the Philistines banded together at a place where there was a field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them. But Shammah took his stand. He took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck down the Philistines. He struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory. These men were David's mighty warriors. They were David's mighty men. And you know, these men were skilled at warfare. They were skilled at whatever it was that, you know, that what was set before them. Come on, somebody. And they did great exploits for God. And that's the type of men that we need surrounding our pastors. We need men that are willing, come on, somebody, to become skilled at whatever it is that God has anointed you in. Sister Sylvia needs some women of God that are willing to stand next to her, amen, and fight the good fight of faith. Take a look at that. He raised his spear against 800 men.
Yes.
One man against 800. He raised his spear. The odds were against him, but he did not back down. And then he stood his ground and he said, you know what? I'm ready to fight. And I believe God seen the courage in that man. And he said, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon him. And then he's going to do a great thing for my honor and glory. See, that's how, you know, that's something that men, that we need if we're going to be mighty, skillful people for VOGP, if we're going to be armor bearers, and then we're going to be servants in this church, amen, then we got to have some courage.
Yes, yes.
You got to have courage. You got to have cora. You got to have heart. Come on, somebody. Yes. Even though the odds are against you, you got to learn to stand, and you got to learn to fight.
Right here. Yes,
in one encounter, he killed 800 men. I would say that's pretty skillful. Eleazar, he was there, amen, and he was at a battle, and at this battle, he had an army with him. There were some other soldiers with him, and then all of a sudden, they tucked their tails and they ran. They left. But he did not. He stood his ground, the Bible said. Amen. And he struck him to the ground. He fought until he got tired. He fought until he got tired. I'm going to tell you right now, serving God, you're going to get tired. Amen. Praying, you're going to get tired. Hitting the streets, you're going to get tired. Coming to church, you're going to get tired. Walking this walk, you're going to get tired. But my friend, you continue to go forward. Amen. And then when you get tired and you can't do it no more, amen, God is going to do what he did to this man. He's going to freeze your weapon. Whenever your strength gives out, that's when God's strength kicks in. God's anointing, that's when it kicks in. Some of you guys are doing great, but you ain't tired yet. You haven't got to the point to where you got tired. You're still like that Energizer Bunny, and you're going, and you're going to every rally, and you're going. Come on, you're coming Friday night, you're coming Sunday, amen, and you're going, and you're going. But do that for 1 year. Do that for 2 years. Do that for 3 years. Come on, stick it out in the hole for 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, amen. And then you're going to get a little tired. You're going to get weary, amen. The Bible says don't get weary in well-doing, amen. But I'm going to say, it says, don't get weary, but you will get weary.
Come on.
And when you do, what are you going to do? See, he says, his hand grew tired, and it froze to the sword. And the Bible says, the Lord brought about a great victory that day. That's what God wants to do.
Yeah.
He wants to bring about a great victory in your life. And he wants to use you to do it. Amen. But you got to be willing. Amen. To fight the good fight of faith and not give up.
Yeah.
Even when you're tired. Because that's when God's anointing will come upon your life. Amen. Then there's another man here, Shema. And he was there. And he was in a field of beans. Hello, somebody. The field of lentil beans. And he was there. And he began to. The Bible says that he defended it.
Yes.
That's what we need here in our church. We need men of God and women of God that will defend. Come on, somebody. They'll defend their family. They'll defend their marriage. They'll defend their church. They'll defend their pastors. They'll defend, come on, somebody, their brothers and sisters in Christ. They become a warrior, a fighter. Not only do you fight for yourself, but you learn how to fight for your brother and your sisters and your pastors and your family and your marriage, and you learn how to defend. Are you a defender? When I played football, you know, they put me on defense. I was on defense. I was a corner, and I was a safety, and I love, come on, somebody, to defend my goal, and I love to defend my church, and I love to defend my pastors. They say defense wins championships. Come on, somebody, and we want to win the world for Jesus. Are you ready to be a defender of your faith? Defense.
Yes.
We need people that are skilled in that area, that you become skilled.
That's right, yes.
Huh? See, the Bible is full of great men of God, and the list goes on, and we can name hundreds of men and women in God's Word that, you know, that they were skilled, and they used their skill for God's honor and glory.
Yes, yes.
Right? One raised his spear against 800 men. One fought till his hand grew tired. Amen. And the other was a defender. These men were skilled.
Come on.
It's one thing to say the world has skilled men and women. It's another to say that the Bible has them. But our desire is for VOGP to have skilled men and women of God.
Yes, yes.
It's one thing for the world to have them, and they got many of them. You know, but their skill, you know, I remember preaching one time, amen, that, you know, Pastor Ed Morales, he said that God has given us an anointing, and we got a special anointing upon our ministry to go into the highways and byways, to go into the inner city, and to begin to preach the gospel, and the gang members, and the drug addicts, and the down and out, and the downcast, they'll begin to listen to us, and they'll begin, amen, to come on, they'll respond. He has given us anointing, but some people, they squander, they waste that anointing, amen, for a one-night stand. With the devil. A one-night stand, you know, for a drink of beer. A one-night stand for a puff. Come on, somebody. A one-night stand, amen. One more night with the frogs, as Pastor Jesse says it.
My God.
They were good. They had the anointing of God upon their life. They were going. They were clean. They were sober. They were on fire for God for 1 month, for 2 months, for a year, for 2 years. And then all of a sudden, you know, they got weak and weary. And instead of getting on their knees and praying and fasting, fasting. Come on, somebody. Yeah. You know, and holding on to the horns of the altar and getting a hold of God. They gave it to that filthy flesh.
Wow.
And they squandered the anointing. Now, I strongly believe that God will give you that anointing again upon your life if you humble yourself before Him.
That's right, that's right.
He'll give you His anointing.
Yes.
See, you know, our desire is for men and women of God to, you know, to come and to be skillful in this church.
Yes.
The word of the year for our church is...
Stretch.
I'm going to say it again. The word of the year for our church is
stretch.
God wants us to
stretch.
God wants you to
stretch.
Stretch. See this? God wants us to stretch because when we stretch, our capacity gets bigger.
Yes.
Our capacity. You're able to hold a lot more anointing. You're able to make some room for some more skill in your life.
Yes.
He wants to stretch you.
Yes.
So you can withstand. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
So you can be skilled.
Yes.
See, I often ask myself, when I read the Bible, I ask myself, man, why, God, I ask God this question, couldn't I be born in the days of the Old Testament? Why couldn't I be born, why couldn't I be one of these mighty warriors? And why couldn't I, you know, do these supernatural things and rout armies and defeat, come on, 800 men with a spear? I would love to do that. That would have been cool. It would have been awesome, right, to walk in those days and you know, because, man, it was bad. It was cool. Come on, somebody, that pastor said, you know, it's like, you know, man, it's right? It's cool. And God tells me this. He says, you know, God says, it's harder to fight what you can't see. It's harder to fight what you can't see.
That's right.
These men, they could see their enemies. They could see their enemy. And they were there and they began to fight their enemy. They began to right. But then God, you know, but nowadays it's different. You know, the church is different. You can't see your enemy.
Come on.
And so God saved this time for you and I. Amen. He says, you know what? It's going to require a little bit more skill. It's going to require more anointing.
Yeah.
And it's going to require a people who's willing, come on, to fight the good fight of faith.
Yeah.
The day and age, we're in a day and age where, it's pretty hard to serve God. You know, I mean, because, right? Because people's faith is going to wax cold. You know, people are going to walk away from God, and you know, and you got the temptation of the world and all that. But we have the greatest privilege because we're going to usher in, come on, the second coming of Christ.
Yeah.
If not us and our kids.
Right.
See, we got a privilege.
Yes.
But see, we're going to need, I want to share some areas that we're going to need some skillful people in our church.
Come on.
That we need some skillful people. Are you down? Are you ready to be skillful for God's honor and glory?
Amen.
To be skilled in what you do that God has called you to do. Whether it be an armor bearer to our pastors, or whether it be a life group leader, whether it be an usher, or whether it be, you know, a minister, whatever it is that God has called you to be, you know, to help out in the gang ministry, to help out in the kids ministry, to help out Sister Sylvia. Come on, somebody. God, we need some skillful people.
Yes.
And that word skill in Proverbs right there in the Hebrew, it's mahir. Mahir. I said that the other day to the men, and they're like, what? My hero? No, mahir. Right? And that word means quick and ready and prompt.
Yes.
Quick. Ready. In other words, you're quick. Come on, somebody. We ain't got to tell you twice. But you, matter of fact, we ain't even got to tell you because you're ready.
Right.
You're ready. You've been waiting. And you're prompt. You're not late. Come on, somebody. You're there before everybody else. Right? But this is what we need. This is the areas that we need skillful people. We need men that are going to be men and women of God that you're skilled in the area of giving.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
knew I wasn't going to get a lot of amen.
Yeah.
That you're a skilled giver.
No.
That you're skilled. That right now you might have struggled that one time giving your tithe, and you might struggle that one time of giving United We Can. But right now you are a tither, and you are a United We Can giver. And then when Pastor came up last Sunday and he said, you know what, we're gonna start doing a building fund, and you said, you know what, I'm with it. I got the vision. You know what? I'm ready. Come on, to give that building fund and to be faithful, and not for it to be affect my tithing. Come on, somebody. But I'm gonna be a faithful tither. I'm gonna be a faithful United We Can member. I got the vision of the house, and I'm gonna see. You know, one day my kids are gonna serve God in this church, and so I'm gonna invest.
Yes, good.
You gotta be skilled.
All right.
The only way that you're gonna be skilled is if you train. You gotta train. Someone say train.
Train.
Huh? It was there in the home that I learned how to be a giver. And I still am to this day. We get new men in the home, and I'll be the first one. I'll be the first one to go in my closet and to go in my drawer, and I'll pull out some socks, and I'll pull out, come on, a shirt, and I'll give them my stuff. Come on, my good stuff, my suit, my dress clothes, my nice stuff, and I'll make sure I'm the first one, because I want to model giving.
Man.
I want to model it.
Yeah.
I want to be a giver. I remember when I first came, and you know, right here, and I heard Pastor, you know, start preaching on, you know, he started preaching on giving your first fruits, or he wouldn't even preach on it, but he would testify on how he would do it, and I began to listen, and my faith began to get stirred up, and I said, you know what, I want to be like that. I want to try it, because I want to be radical, and I want to flip over a check too, it might hurt, but you know, I want to be one who will sacrifice it, and so I want to earn, come on somebody, I want to earn my bones.
Amen, amen.
So I would flip over a check, give my first fruits, and then I would flip over another one, and then I would flip over another one, and I tell him, God says, you know what, I see that you keep flipping checks, come on, you keep giving your tithes. I went from a 10% to a 12% to 15% to give me my whole life.
Come on,
come on, somebody. You can't outgive God once you understand that principle. Once you understand that you cannot outgive God, that you learn, come on, the policy to release what's in your hand so you can get what's in His hands. Somebody, you know, I heard it like this one time. God told me this. He says, you want your mom saved, and you want your sister saved, and you know what? Then you need to go out there, and you need to save someone else's sister, and you need to go out there and reach somebody else's mother.
Amen, amen.
And I believe it's like this. That you want a house? You want a house of your own? You want to be a homeowner? Come on, somebody. Then you got to help. Come on. You got to be part of that building fund. And you got to be faithful. And if you can be faithful in one man's vineyard, God is going to give you your own vineyard. If you take care of God's house, He'll give you your own house. If you take care of God's business, He's going to take care of your business. You got to be skilled in the area of giving. But that requires faith. That requires faith. You gotta have faith.
Yes.
You gotta have radical faith. You gotta be skilled in the area of your faith. But you ain't never gonna get skilled if you're too afraid to step out of the boat. You gotta learn to step out of the boat. You gotta learn to jump off that cliff and expect God to catch you. Come on, somebody. You gotta learn to do the things that you're afraid to do. Amen. I was afraid to give, you know, to public speak, to speak in the public, and I was afraid. That was a fear of mine as a kid. I couldn't get up and read the book in front of 20 little kids. Come on, somebody. But I learned to step out of faith.
Amen.
Huh? Oh, because as soon as you step out on faith, as soon as you take that step, come on, that's when God's anointing falls upon your life.
Amen.
Do you trust God?
Yes.
See, another area that we need you skilled in is loving others.
Right.
Loving others. You got to be skilled at loving the unlovable.
Yes. Amen.
The unlovable. I remember when Pastor told me, he goes, if anybody asks you, this is the vision of the house. We love the unlovable. We reach the unreachable.
Yes.
And we teach the unteachable.
Yeah.
I said, wow. That's a lot.
Come on.
I said, okay, that's the vision. If that's your heart, I want it. I want to learn how to do it. And if I'm going to learn how to do it, then I'm going to watch you. I'm going to watch you love the unlovable. I'm going to watch you hit the streets, Pastor. I'm going to watch you, come on, minister and disciple all these knuckleheads. Come on, somebody. The unteachable, the EGR, the extra grace required. Pastor said one time, you know what? You know, some people, you got to carry to heaven. You got to carry them.
Man, I got to carry them?
Right? He didn't mean that in a literal sense, but he meant that like, man, you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to hold their hand, or you're going to have to, come on, hold their bike with the training wheels on it. You're going to have to, you know, you got to have to give them that extra love.
Yeah.
You got to learn to love. For the married couples, you got to learn to love your wife.
Amen.
Learn to love your wife. You got to be skilled at it. Amen. That's what I'm working on. I love my wife. Huh? You know, it's a little bit easier for me because I had a great example before me, and I've watched and I watched and I watched for 1 year, for 2 years, for 3 years, for 4 years, for 5 years, for 6 years. I was watching my pastor's marriage, and I began to see how he would treat his wife and how he would open the door for her and how he would love her. And I never seen him raise his voice at her. And I said, okay, well, I got to catch that. I got to put it in my shepherd. Bag.
Amen.
And so now I'm learning how to love my wife. Wives, you got to learn how to love your husband.
Yes.
Husbands, you got to learn how to love your wives the way that Jesus loves the church. That's my prayer every morning. God, teach me to love my wife like you love the church. You laid your life down for the church. So I got to lay my life down. Come on, for my wife. You got to learn to love your children. Huh? Parents, you got to learn to love your children with the love of God. You got to be skilled. Come on, somebody. You know, to love your children and to raise them in the things of the Lord. You got to learn to love the lost. The lost. You got to have a burden. You got to have a burden to go to the streets. You got to have a burden to reach your city. You got to learn to love that when you drive by, come on, that homeless person, that you don't drive by them without giving them a flyer. You don't, might not have a dollar. You might not have $2. But when you got, come on, you know where to send them. We have a Christian recovery home. You can stop and give them a flyer and say, you know what, I'm on my way to work. I probably can't take you right now. But you know what, here's a flyer. Call this number and they'll pick you up. Love the hurting. You go to rallies because you love the hurting people. You got to be skilled at reaching the lost. You got to be skilled. The only way that's going to happen is if you go to the streets. If you're willing. You can't become skilled in something unless you're willing to do it.
That's right.
The church. You got to learn to love the church. You got to learn to love your brothers and your sisters, and you got to learn how to not have grudges, and learn how to not fight and murmur and complain and bicker against one another. But you got to love your brother, you got to love your sister, and you got to love them with the love of God. Don't love them with the love of the world. You're lusting after them, and you're hindering them when they're trying to serve God, and when we're trying to disciple them. There you are on Messenger and Facebook, and you're hitting them up, and we're trying to teach you, hey, don't do that, brother. Stay away from her. She ain't ready for you yet.
That's right. Good.
Learn to love the church.
Yes.
Not only that, but we gotta be skillful in our leadership. Skillful in our leadership. We need leaders to rise up who are skilled. Come on, somebody. Because as the higher you climb in the ladder of leadership, the devil would love to knock you down. So you need to be skilled and you need to be sharp. And the way you're going to do that is by getting close to our pastors.
Amen.
Staying close. Going to Vethi, doing discipleships, sticking it out, not giving up, learning, reading your word, you know, making a sacrifice to go to the leadership retreat, doing these things. We need leaders.
Yes.
Watching your conduct, staying above reproach. Not only that, but we need skillful people in the area of warfare. warfare. That you pray, that you know how to pray, as I call up the worship team. We need people who are skilled. And our pastors are skilled in warfare. Spiritual warfare.
Amen.
They're skilled. They know, come on, God has given them a weapon.
Come on.
A weapon. A radical evangelism.
Amen. Amen.
Radical. We're not afraid to go out there and flip a trash can over and get on top of it with a bullhorn and begin to preach the gospel.
Yes.
And we do rallies and we do dramas and we move. Come on, our pastor is so, man, he's crafty and he'll begin to make up ways to reach the lost.
Yes.
He make up ways. That's our weapon. Radical evangelism.
Yes.
Warfare. War, and not only that, but you gotta learn war on the floor.
Yeah.
What we say in the home. Before we take it down in prayer, raise your right hand. War on the floor.
That's right.
Right hand, brother. War on the floor. You gotta learn to pray.
Right.
You gotta learn to fast.
Yeah.
You gotta learn to tarry with our pastors on our prayer watch. Come on, somebody.
Right.
You gotta learn to pray. You pray, you stay, you fast, you last.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't just talk about it, but be about it. Unlearn the 2x2 method that we're giving you, that you pray 2 times a day, and that you read your word 2 times a day, and you begin to build a regimen in your life, and you become skillful in the area of warfare. Man, we need prayer warriors.
Yes.
We don't even have a prayer ministry. My heart breaks every time my pastors get up here and say that we need somebody that's gonna pray for us. We need a pastor's prayer partner team. You know, man, I just wanna drop everything I'm doing, just go do that.
Yeah.
But I say, no, I can't. I do pray for my pastor. I pray for them. I fast for them. I pray for them.
Amen.
But it's so important that we need somebody to rise up and say, you know what? I'll drop this and I'll drop that and I'll do this and I'll stay focused on prayer.
Yeah.
I'll be a prayer leader.
Yeah.
Not only that, but we need people who are skillful in the area of discipleship. That you're not afraid to clean the fish. We can reach them all day long, but you won't even, come on, spend an hour with them. You got to learn discipleship, and you got to be skillful. And before you can disciple somebody, you got to be discipled.
Yes.
You got to be discipled. Get close. See, and I'm going to close it with this. As we all stand, Jesus said this. He said this in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." See, your talent, well, God's anointing is powerful. When you begin to offer your skill to God, God is going to pour out His anointing, and you're going to be unstoppable for God. You're going to be a mighty force to be reckoned with. The devil's going to think twice about messing with you, because you got the anointing of God upon your life. And you said, you know what? I'm trained, and I've been trained, and I've been watching my pastors and watching my leaders, and I want to learn more, and I'm going to stay close. And whenever we come together as a team, come on, the devil ain't gonna want to mess with us. He don't want to mess with us. But you need God's anointing. We need skillful people. Why? Because we want to launch out churches.
Amen, amen.
We want to launch out missionaries.
Amen.
We want to get a nice building. We need givers. We need people who are skillful, that you start saying, you know what? I want to take a street team out. I want to run with the rally. I want to do the dirty work. Come on, somebody. You know what? We'll give our leaders a break.
Amen.
I don't even need a break.
Come on.
Huh? I don't need a break.
Come on,
Josh. I need a break.
That's right.
It gets tired. You get weary sometimes.
Come on.
Pastors don't take breaks.
Come on.
Huh? every now and then they'll go, but, you know, but they don't take breaks. Come on, somebody.
Right.
Sabbatical, take all year off.
That's right.
What is that? Huh? Leaving, putting our hands to the plow.
Yes, yes.
Huh? Why? Because we need ministers to go and take cities.
That's what my
prayer is. These last, come on, it's real heavy on my heart. Real heavy on my heart to go. I don't want to go. Come on, so I mean, I do, but I don't. It's like I'm split in two, huh? But I know that the vision continues, and I know that it's my pastor's heart to launch out churches. So I said, you know what? You know, I'll put down my vision, right? Because I wanted to be a missionary, and I wanted to tell Pastor, I wanted to I'll go to Africa, I'll go to the NTC, and that was real heavy on my heart for a while. I was like, man, I'm gonna go to the NTC. And then I began to hear Pastor Jesse's heart at World Conference. I began to hear my pastor's heart say, we need to build the North Texas region. We need more churches in the cities that surround. Come on, somebody. I said, I'll lay down my vision any day for my pastor's vision.
Wow.
Lift your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on, just close your eyes and just worship God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 The altars are open. If you want God to pour out His anointing upon your life so that you can be skilled, that you can be a skilled warrior, you can be a skilled evangelist, you can be a skilled servant of God, these altars are open. David said this, the Lord is training my hands for war, my fingers for battle. Will you let God train you? Will you let our pastors disciple you? God wants to use you. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Take my hands, Lord, take my feet.
want to be used, amen, one day to serve God and do great things for God. Amen. I believe that God has great plans for you. But if you're here and you, maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're backslidden. Maybe this is all new to you, and you felt something tugging at your heart, and you said, you know what, man, that sounds something like I want to do. The first things first, that you got to give your heart to Jesus. If you're here in this place, and you know, you want to get saved, you want to give your life to Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, in reverence for the Lord, that's you. And you said, you know what, I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. I want you to lift your hands, amen, all over this place. If that's you, you want to give your life to Jesus, God bless you. God bless you. God sees your hands, amen. I want you to repeat this prayer. Say, dear Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. Lord, you also raised from the dead, and you are alive today, and you have the power to forgive sins. Forgive me. Come into my heart. I surrender. I am ready to be used for your honor and glory. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let me say a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you right now, God. Lord, I thank you, God, Lord, for your word going forth, God. I pray, Lord, that, God, that you would raise up a mighty army, God. Father, Lord, here in our church, God. Lord, that are willing to go through the process to become skilled, God. Skilled givers, God. Skilled, God, Lord, at evangelism, God. And God, Lord, at these many different things, take the steps of faith, God. Raise up, God, Lord, a people, God, Lord, that have radical faith and that will stay close to our pastors, oh God. Father, I pray that this message, Lord God, God, Lord, will begin to, God, stick with them throughout the whole week, Lord God. Lord, bless them, be with them in the name of Jesus. All of God's people say amen and amen. Give the Lord some praise.
Hallelujah. What a powerful message, amen. What a powerful message about being skilled. Being skilled, amen. That's what we need, amen. Great message, Brother Josh, amen. This is what the church needs, amen. Skillful people. You know, earlier this morning we were able to go do a funeral service for one of the members of the church, old member of the church. And I shared this morning at his funeral service about the yoke of Christ, the yoke of Christ. And, you know, when you talk about skill, when Josh was talking about skill, you know, one of the ways that is brought about in your life, one of the ways you become skillful, and one of the ways that that they would teach the oxen is what they would do is because the oxen was like a tractor of back then. It was the tractor. They would plow their field with the oxen. But, you know, the oxen, you know, the baby ox or the baby ox, whatever you call them, calf or whatever, they didn't know how to plow. You know, they really didn't know what they were doing. So what they would do is that when they came of age, when they came to the point to where they knew how, they were big enough to plow, then what they would do is they would get an experienced ox and yoke it together with an inexperienced ox. And they would yoke them together. They would put something over their shoulder, and they would be together, and it would keep them together. And so the experienced ox would kind of lead the way, but yet the inexperienced ox would be right next to him, and he would pull the inexperienced ox next to him, and they would both plow the field together. And through that inexperienced ox was learning from the experienced ox. And they would begin to plow the field together. And it's like that in discipleship. That's what Brother Josh was talking about, is that if you really want to become skilled, you got to yoke yourself next to a good leader. You got to yoke yourself. You know, we live in a time of day where the church feels like they don't have to come to church. You know, I don't see how people are going to grow just by being sipping sermons on a Sunday. Sometimes, you know, the church nowadays thinks that they're going to grow just by sipping a sermon on a Sunday morning, you know, and they're just sermon sippers, you know, just once a week sermon sippers, you know, and it wasn't like that in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, the church grew so much, but it's because they met daily. You know, we struggle with getting people to come on Friday nights and Wednesday nights to life group. You know what I mean? You know, and but if the church is really hungry to grow, then they would yoke themselves. You see, this is why it's important that even you that come on Friday, you'll come on Sunday and you'll see a big crowd. Well, why don't they come on Friday? Why don't they come? You don't look at them. You keep your eyes on your pastor and on your leaders, and you yoke yourself to us. You yoke yourself to us. Amen? Because we're the experienced ox. Come on, somebody. We're the experienced ox. And we're not just about being Christians. We're about making Christians. See, that's the difference. You know what I mean? There's some that just want to be a Christian, and they're okay just with them being Christian. But we're about making Christians. We're Christians, and we have the strength of an ox. We have the strength of an ox to take an inexperienced, come on somebody, and pull them along with us. See, and so you gotta yoke yourself next to a leader, you know, and even where if our church is gonna grow, it's gonna take some experienced oxes, experienced leaders that can pull others alongside of them. You may have one ox or two ox or three ox, but whatever you can handle, you gotta pull them. It's discipleship. That's the only way growth takes place. Solid growth. Solid growth. And you know, I'm not the only ox. Amen. I'm not the only ox. I'm not the only leader. We have good leaders in Josh and Irvin. You know, now, you know, if they do their job, that's up to them. They have the strength, but they got to do their job. You know what I mean? They got to do their job and pull people alongside of them. You know, but we need more. You know, there is some. You know, you have people. You're running a ministry. You know, you're like that ox. You know what I mean? You're running a ministry, you know, gang, worship team, second phase, usher. You're like that ox, you know. But you know, you got to still stay close to your pastors, your leaders. You got to stay yoked to us, you know, because we're still showing you the ropes on how to plow the field, how to plow for growth. Come on, somebody. How many know we're working the harvest? Amen. But that's what it takes. It takes you yoking yourself together, tying yourself to your leader. There's a lot of just, you know, loose saints out there. They're loose saints, and they ain't next to a leader. They ain't next to an experienced believer, Christian. They're lone rangers. They're lone rangers, you know, and they won't they will not help the kingdom of God grow solidly like that. You know, you only help the kingdom of God is when you learn to tie yourself into the body of Christ. Amen. And they say this: you are who you hang around with. You know, you are who you hang around with. You want to be a solid Christian? Hang around solid Christians. Hang around solid Christians. You know, and when you come to church, when you come on Friday night, you see solid Christians. You know, you see that's what we got to be, solid people. We see a lot of faithful people that come every Wednesday. Stay faithful, stay solid. If you're faithful, you come on Fridays. You know, we're not a big crowd, but we're a crowd. There's a lot of solid faces. You'll see Celestia. You'll see Magali here. You'll see Jose here. They're young. Alexis, my daughter, even Susana. But they're here every Friday. Because they're faith. They're learning. Why? Because they yoke themselves to us. You see? They yoke themselves to the ministry. They're solid. You see others. You see Joe. You see Alex. You see, you know, Josh. You see all these people that become solid. Yourself. Stay like that. Stay like that and grow.
Amen.
Grow. Because when you do that, you become that skillful person for the Lord.
That's right.
For the Lord. Amen. So let's continue to grow our skill. Let's grow our skill for God's honor and for God's glory. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's be faithful. Street team going out tonight with Brother Robert. Amen. You can see him. I don't know where he disappeared to. Amen. But and then also, amen, we have tomorrow, amen, you want to go to the car washes, amen, get plugged into that. Sunday morning, we'll be here. I'll be ministering. Come on out. It's going to be a great, great time. How many love Jesus?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Can we sing a fast song? Amen. You want to praise the Lord for a little bit?
Yeah.
You don't know where to go. Come on, somebody. Don't forget the choir. Amen.
favorite practice. Amen. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. But this is a